Certainly it's good to see everyone today. It's good to be with you. As we think about the past couple of weeks, many of us, as Reed and I were talking about this morning, have either watched or been sort of keeping up with the Olympics and seeing what's been going on in Brazil, specifically with the Americans as they have been winning medals in the swimming. If you've been keeping up with that, it's been incredible to watch. Michael Phelps, as we think about all that he has accomplished over the last several years in the Olympics, it's an amazing thing to consider. We've seen history made, obviously, this week. I don't know if you watched the one race where the girls were running and one of the girls was halfway through and the others hadn't even made it to the other end yet, and it was quite impressive to see the work that they put in. And of course, Michael Phelps with his 23 individual gold medals is an accomplishment that I don't know. Well, he did it, so I guess at some point somebody could do it again, but it's impressive to think about. You know, just think about how much training they have to do. Think about the dedication that they have to put in to be the kind of athletes that can do what they can do. Once Michael Phelps talked about his diet, and I think he's backed up a little bit from this, but at one point he said he ate 12,000 calories a day. You need to think about that for just a second. 12,000 calories a day just to have the intake needed to keep up with his training. Now, I think he backed off of that a little bit, but he eats a lot, and he trains all the time. And I doubt his nutrition plan matches up with mine very well. I bet there are not any donuts on his nutrition plan, well, you bet. I bet he's got some very specific things that he eats and does, but their training and their dedication is quite impressive. As Christians, we can learn from that and think about that and apply that in our spiritual walk. You know, training is important. And there are usually two very important pieces to a successful training program. Diet and exercise. Nutrition. And then the actual application of the things you're trying to do. You need both to optimize the training. They need both sets to have the right fuel and then to have the right training to make them successful. You know, there's an old saying, you can't out-train a bad diet, which is why they have to eat specific things. They have to do certain things. And I bet they're like you and I. I bet there's certain things on their diet they'd just rather not eat. They'd rather eat something else. But because of what they're trying to do, they eat what they need. And of course, they have to be in shape. They could eat all the right things, but if they weren't in shape, they wouldn't be able to accomplish the things that they accomplish. So think about those two things, diet and exercise. We begin with the idea of what kind of a diet would a Christian need from a spiritual perspective. Open your Bibles to the book of Ezekiel chapter 3 for just a moment. Ezekiel chapter 3. As we go back to the prophets, you know, their calls were very different, but they were all unique when they were called to go speak the message of God to the people. Ezekiel's call was unique in and of itself. We see that in Ezekiel chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. And he said to me, "Son of man, eat whatever you find here. Eat this scroll and go speak to the house of Israel." So I opened my mouth, and he gave me this scroll to eat. And he said to me, "Son of man, feed your belly with this scroll that I give you, and fill your stomach with it." Then I ate it, and it was in my mouth as sweet as honey. And he said to me, "Son of man, go to the house of Israel and speak with my words to them." Interesting that this is the way that Ezekiel is chosen, that he's given the message of God to go and tell the people. He says, eat this scroll. Use this as your diet. Use this as your nutrition. Eat my words and then take my words out to the world. Take my words out to the children of Israel. And we know that Ezekiel's words were not always well received. But he was told to eat, feast on these things, and that was the message of God. Today we can similarly do that. We can take and we can digest this message, this word of God, and take that to the world. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 16. Paul gives us some words about the importance of Scripture and what it means. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, it says, "All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." If we want to be successful in our race, if we want to be successful in our Christian lives, our spiritual walk, then we must take in, we must have the right nutrition, and that nutrition is the Word of God. It is profitable for us. It is good for us. It trains us. It makes us who we ought to be, equipped for every good work. In order to carry out the race, in order to carry out the endeavors that we want to achieve as Christians, we must have the right intake. We must have the right nutrition and live that healthy lifestyle, spiritually speaking. Hebrews chapter 4 in verse 12, where it talks about the Word of God. It says, "The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. No creature is hidden from His sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account." The Word of God is living and it's active. Some people think of God's Word as just a good book, a book of advice, a book of suggestions. It's some things that you might do, some things that maybe you should do, but it's not something that's necessary. What the Hebrew writer says is a little bit different than that. He says the Word of God is alive. It's alive and it's active. When we take in the right nutrition, our body responds spiritually by having the right kind of things to do and fire off at the right points, and to have the right muscles and the right ideas ready to go to be successful. God's Word is living and it's active. It's involved in our lives. This is our great spiritual nutrition that we must have. You know, it's the most readily accessible. We all have this Word of God in our homes. We all have this ready to take in and to be a part of. The important thing to remember is to digest what's here. So as we think about diet and we think about taking in the right nutrition, then we think about exercise, we think about training, we think about being prepared to live that Christian life, to run that race, and then to win that race. 1 Timothy chapter 4 in verse 8. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. "For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come." Paul understood the importance of bodily training, of exercise, of physical exercise, and how important that is. But he also talks about the importance of godliness. Training in godliness, having godliness as part of our life and understanding the value of it. As much as we understand we must train in order to be physically what we should be and what we can be, we've got to train spiritually to be godly, to act godly, to have godly things come from us. We must be training in His Word and practicing His Word. We must be exercising those very same things. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 gives us the fruit of the Spirit. It's what we're talking about on Sunday nights. Tonight we talk about the subject of peace. As we go through these, this is what we produce. This is what the Spirit makes. And so as we take in Scripture, as the Holy Spirit helps us to understand Scripture and moves in our lives and our hearts, this is what we become. This is what we exercise. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. If we live by the Spirit, let's keep in step with the Spirit. We exercise. We need to use these things. We need to put these things in practice and daily use them. Daily exercise. Daily prepare ourselves to be a product of what Scripture leads us to be. To take in the right nutrition. And then to put in place the exercises necessary to be successful in our race. If you turn back to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Paul says it this way when he's talking to Timothy, a young man who would be preaching. Who would be out giving the message of God. Teaching about Jesus, teaching the gospel, spreading that message, and maybe in places where others might look down upon him because he was a young man. And Paul says this to him, "Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourselves to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of the elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing you will save both yourself and your hearers." As we look at what Paul suggests to Timothy, not only did he need to know the Scripture, did he need to know the value of Scripture, and it's to Timothy that Paul talked about how profitable Scripture was, but he needed to have the right nutrition, but then he needed to practice what the Scripture says. Take it in and then practice it. He says, don't let people despise your youth, but use that as an example to be an example. In what you say, how you speak, how you talk, how you act, how you respond, how you deal with the way people treat you. In your speech, in your conduct, how you carry yourself, how you act in the world. It's practicing what Scripture, when we take in the right nutrition, what comes out reflects the Spirit that's in us. And so our conduct should reflect the Spirit living in us. Timothy, the Spirit needs to be reflected in your conduct, in your love, how you treat others, how you respond to others, how you live in the world where sometimes people are against you, but you still have love, in faith, being committed, having a belief and a trust in God that defies logic sometimes, that no matter what happens, I trust in God and I believe in Him. Have that faith. Be an example of that faith, that you give yourself to Him in all circumstances and in purity. Living your life the way that Scripture suggests. Rejecting those things that the flesh brings. Rejecting those things that the devil shows to be important. But to live pure. And then notice verse 15. He says to him, practice these things. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them. Why? Why was it so important to practice? Why is it so important to exercise, to train, to keep a watch on yourself, for by so doing you will save both yourself and your hearers. Practice, exercise, train. Righteousness comes from you. When you take in the right nutrition and you practice the things that Scripture talks about. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 through 27. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. All runners run in a race, but only one receives the prize. When it comes to the podium, when it comes time to hand out the medals, there's only one gold medal. The one that receives that gold medal is the one that carried out the plan that they had to their fullest. Paul says, use this as an understanding of how you need to be Christians. Run that race so that you may obtain it. Be the one that gets the prize. Be the one that finishes first. Understand that you got to exercise. We know that athletes have to have self-control. They have to say no to what they want to eat sometimes. They have to say yes to training. Even when they're tired, they have to go forward. They exercise self-control, but they do this to receive something that's perishable. And at the end of things, though years from now they will talk about Michael Phelps and all the medals that he's won, but if he doesn't live a life that matches Scripture, then all of that would have been for nothing. All of that would have meant nothing as it relates to being successful at life. Because a successful life is one that ends with the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." As much as we understand the dedication, as much as we understand the commitment to win things that are perishable, Paul says, understand the dedication needed to win the imperishable. To train, to have the right nutrition, and to be successful in the real race that is our Christian race. As we think about these things this morning, we finish up in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. Where it says, an athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. As we think about what we talked about today, there's a couple of points. When it comes to Christianity, when it comes to our spiritual walk, we must understand there are no shortcuts. A lot of talk lately around the Olympics, around those who are trying to cheat the system, those who are trying to dope, those who are trying to use enhancements to be successful. When it comes to our spiritual life, there's no shortcuts. There's no way to enhance ourselves other than to take in the right nutrition and exercise ourselves. The other part that I think is important is we must compete. We must compete. If we want to be successful, we must compete. This is not a race that we can sit out. This is not a thing that we can sit on the sidelines and spectate. We must participate. Every Christian must train. Every Christian must have the right nutrition. They want to be successful. If we want to go to heaven, we got to train. And we got to eat right. Because in the end, the discipline is worth it. The discipline is worth it. I can go without donuts for a while. I can go without eating the wrong things for a while. And I can lose weight and I can feel pretty good about myself when I lose weight. But I still want those donuts. I got to understand that the discipline is worth it. When it comes to our spiritual lives, the discipline is very much worth it. And in the end, what we choose to give up, or what we choose to do without, or what we choose to do, it'll all be worth it. Because we'll have the greatest prize that can ever be handed out. It's a life with God in heaven. Maybe here this morning and you've never named the name of Christ, we'll encourage you to do that. If you believe the message, repent of your sins, confess that He is the Son of God, and be buried with Him in baptism, raised to live as a Christian, to be on path to receive that imperishable crown. Maybe here this morning and there's things that you need to get right in your life and you want the prayers of the church. The imperishable wreath is there, and it's there for all of us. If you have a need this morning to reach that point, won't you come as we stand and sing?